Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Yeah, can I have a number three with cheese and a large coffee?
Wolfing down your lunch. Serving up today's top sports stories with Wolf and Luke.
Man, does this smell good.
It's noon on a Wednesday. It is time for Wolfing Down Your Lunch. There's only about a billion things going on today. Aaron Maloney is here. Aaron?
The Arizona Diamondbacks and big-ticket free agent starting pitcher Jordan Montgomery agreed to terms on a contract. The deal is reportedly worth $25 million for 2024 with a vesting option for 2025. And you guys just had D-backs GM Mike Hazen on, and you guys asked him about it.
There are reports out there that you guys are about to sign Jordan Montgomery, too. I mean, what can you even tell us about this?
I don't know what you're talking about. look, I can't talk about anything that is out there. It's speculation, but we're still very much interested in helping this team. We're far from a finished product today, tomorrow, 2 weeks from now. We know things are going to happen. We know that given where we are in the pack in the National League, that there's a ton of competition. Certainly, the Dodgers have done what the Dodgers have done, and you know, we're going to have to stay vigilant and be able to help and improve this team any way we can from now until the trading deadline. So I think we're on paper. I see us as a stronger team than we were 365 days ago. I think we still have a lot of improving to do to get where we want to go, which is to get into the playoffs, but solidify that a little more firmly than we did last year.
Your reaction to that?
I thought when he first said that, I was like, this is like when we asked Jonathan Gannon about the draft, the combine. He was like, oh, wait, what did he say about the corner that he tried to get him to push off the line of scrimmage? Look, I think he handled that the way that he has to handle it, but I'm now more interested than ever in this deal getting done and Jordan Montgomery officially being a Diamondback.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one right there. I like the follow-up question myself, based on our
answer. Yeah, because you asked the follow-up. You were very
How do
proud
you
of
like
yourself.
Your rotation, Mike? I mean,
I think our rotation is always my largest concern.
You know, once again, I thought it was good.
Like, Detective Wolf, like, yes, oh, maybe I'll get you to say something this way. Yes. Why don't you go pitcher by pitcher through your rotation?
Seriously. Okay, next.
The Phoenix Suns are
How's
getting...
your bracket, by the way?
Oh, I'm surprised you didn't ask him that.
The Phoenix Suns are getting ready to face the Nuggets tonight. Here's Suns head coach Frank Vogel from yesterday.
No better motivator than a loss. So, you know, the game last game hopefully sharpens us. The schedule coming up hopefully sharpens us. Still got to position ourselves to try to get in that top six. We still feel like we can do it. But, you know, the opponents that we have coming up, we're going to have to be at our best. And I think in the long run, the big picture, we're going to look back and see that this stretch is one that really sharpens us going in the playoffs.
Phoenix Suns guard Bradley Beal and center Yusuf Nurkic are listed as questionable. How do you think the Suns will respond tonight?
And the mood just like comes down when we talk Suns right now, doesn't it? It's so like you can feel it. It's like everybody's just like, okay, let's get solemn and serious. That said, I mean, I expect them to respond. Now, if they don't have Nurkic and Beal, I don't know how they can win this game.
Yeah.
But if even just Nurkic is playing, I expect the Suns to respond. That is one thing they have done this season. They haven't responded well after nice wins, but they've responded pretty strongly after bad losses.
Yeah, no, I agree with Luke on this one right here. I think their intensity level is going to be high. And because of that, I think they're going to go out and compete. And because they will compete, that talent that they possess on this team will start to shine. Now, do I expect it to be a close game going into the fourth quarter? I do. I expect it to be a close game. How they're going to play in the fourth quarter will decide if they win, in my opinion.
LSU's Pro Day is today, and according to reports, wide receiver Malik Nabers will meet with the Cardinals post-workout. If you were meeting with Malik Nabers, what would you want to ask him?
What do you love about the game of football, Malik?
My question would be, did Wolf ask you what you love about the game of football, Malik? And he'd be like, yeah. I'd be like, did he ask that or how much you weigh?
Yeah. Tell me why you love playing the game of football, Malik.
I think my
Somebody
question...
Somebody hit record on this, please.
My question would be 435. Are you happy with that?
Ooh.
Because that is a little bit, I mean, it's not slow. It's blazing speed, but it's slower than, like you said earlier.
Yeah, but, you know.
But it's hundreds of seconds slower. So.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. But once again, when you compete, the clock matters. Marvin Harrison Jr.
And then it was a special night at Mullett Arena. Arizona Coyotes forward Josh Doan scored twice in his NHL debut, as Doan is the first player in Coyotes history to score multiple goals in their NHL debut. How special was that?
I think that was a memorable Arizona sports moment.
Yeah.
I think it's beyond hockey because it's Shane Doan. It's something that if you're a sports fan in the Valley, it goes beyond. You know, look, is it the Diamondbacks going to the World Series? No, that's a different kind of thing. Cardinals going to the Super Bowl. But in terms of just like internal Valley sports moments, that's permanently on the list now.
I don't know if I could make that or say that any better than you just did.
Well, I'm going to leave you.
That is really, really well said by Luke Lipinski right there. Josh Doan, to go out and do what he did with all of these unbelievable variables around his paradigm. And that paradigm was going out and playing his first NHL hockey game with everything that was inside of that, all the variables inside of that paradigm. For him to go out and do what he did is ridiculous.
Don't
see it that often, especially here.
For him to just debut with the Coyotes was going to be a big story, regardless of if he had an assist or anything.
Absolutely.
And then he goes out and gets two goals and they win. All right, that was Wolf and Downey Lunch. Thank you, Aaron. As always, the Valley is set to bring a jam-packed weekend filled with fan events, including the Men's Final Four Fan Fest presented by Capital One. Fan Fest is a sports wonderland held at the Phoenix Convention Center April 5th through the 8th. So win Fan Fest tickets by entering at arizonasports.com/contest. When we come back, Matt Miller, friend of the show, Matt Miller, released his latest mock draft, 7 rounds. What does he have the Cardinals doing? That's next. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hear ye, hear ye. Oye, oye. The king announces a new mock draft.
All right, well, this one is a big one, courtesy of ESPN. Wolf, Matt Miller. You can call him friend of the show, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Pretty good. He knows his stuff.
He's been on a couple of times.
Multiple times, right? Yeah. Yes. His mock draft up on ESPN goes 7 rounds deep. And over the 7 rounds, 257 picks, he has 2 trades. One of those trades involves the Arizona Cardinals at number 4. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm gonna throw out what his projected mock trade is, and you just tell me if this is something you would like.
Okay.
So he has them trading with Denver, not Minnesota. I would prefer they trade with Minnesota because Minnesota has 2 first-round picks.
Okay.
But Minnesota, he actually has making the other trade, and that's with the Patriots at number 3.
Okay.
So he has the Cardinals trading with Denver, and he has, how does he word this? So he has the Cardinals getting a first-rounder, taking Denver's first-rounder this year, which is number 12 overall, plus
number
a 2025 first-rounder and a 2026 first-rounder. So you're getting 3 first-rounders back,
okay,
but they're spread out over 3 years, and you are giving up your first-rounder this year, obviously.
Okay, you know what? I don't like that. Three
Why?
Years, you know, well, just because I think this year. This year is what I like. And I think Monty, just based on what he did last year, of course, in the draft, I'd love for Monty to have another shot at that. And this draft, hopefully producing even more, even better players than what I think we might have seen based on last year's draft. So again, it's not like last year's draft was bad. It is not. And I expect them to get better. But if you tell me this year could be 3 number ones, as some mocks have it, 3 number ones, I'll take the 3 number ones based on Monty and how well Monty has drafted, especially knowing you already have 6 in the top 91.
Yeah, I understand there's value to a 2026 first rounder. I get that, but
it just feels like that is,
yeah, it's just pushing it so far down the road.
Down the road.
You know? Yeah, I mean, this is why I would, if they're going to make a trade, I would much, much, much prefer it was with Minnesota, because in theory, you're getting 11 and 23 in this year's draft, plus you would still have 27.
Correct.
That just gives you a lot of options to do something with this year's draft class when it is supposedly heavy on offensive linemen and wide receivers, which are two positions that you need help at, especially a wide receiver. You know, there are plenty of scenarios where you trade with Minnesota and you're down at 11 and 23, and maybe Roma Dunze or Malik Nabers slips to you, or maybe you take Brian Thomas Jr. at 23, or maybe you trade back up with that 11th pick into like the top eight or something. Whereas this one, it's not a bad deal. You're getting three first rounders, but it does just kind of spread it all out. And I mean, who knows if Kyler Murray is even going to be the quarterback in 2026, you know?
I know it is. It's down the road right there. But you know what? Also, too, it's the fact that it's not just going to be the two number ones. It's not just going to be that. I mean, okay, you're going to give us a first round pick, basically. That's what it comes down to with the Minnesota Vikings, right?
Yeah.
You're going to give us a first round pick. That's great. But you also are going to give us, I don't know, a late second round pick and a fourth. I mean, it's not just going to be one first round pick you're going to give us. We're going to trade spots with you. We're going to go back to 11. I'm talking about the Vikings now, once again. So, you know, I think there'd be even more involved in that deal.
Well,
and
so,
they already have a lot of picks in the top 91, as I said.
Just as a reference point, this is what he has as the framework of a trade, Minnesota moving up to three with the Patriots.
Okay.
So, and maybe you could project this out. Let's say the Patriots just take a quarterback and Minnesota is, I mean, then there's one more quarterback off the board. So you're fighting over the fourth quarterback in theory, but if that were to play out, if the Patriots would just take a quarterback, then the Cardinals would have Minnesota and Denver calling constantly because only one of them is getting a quarterback. What he has Minnesota sending to the Patriots is pick 11, pick 23, and a first rounder next year. I like that a lot more.
Yeah, right, exactly. So pick 11, pick 23, and a first rounder next year.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you would have
three first rounders.
You'd have 11, 23, and 27 this year.
Yeah, guess what? That is exactly what Trey Lance and the San Francisco 49ers deal was about, right?
He says that in here.
He did?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. So there you have it. That's what it would take. Makes sense.
So he has in this mock, just to kind of play out how the rest of this goes, he has the Cardinals at 12 with the Denver trade, taking Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU.
Wow. I really like him. I like him a lot.
He does keep getting mocked to the Cardinals now in these mock drafts where there are trades mixed in. He seems to kind of be, if you believe all these mocks, the guy that the Cardinals would be willing to make a trade as long as they could still get Brian Thomas Jr.
Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver, LSU.
You need someone who's a reliable pass catcher that can score a touchdown at a moment's notice? Turn to the guy that led the FBS in that category this past season. Despite his height of 6'4", Thomas can burn down the field. He ran a 4.33 40-yard dash at the combine and can get 10 yards downfield in a second and a half. He'll need to improve on his route running at the NFL level, but he's a guaranteed deep threat if given an opportunity to run. NFL comp, Packers wide receiver Christian Watson.
This 2024 NFL Draft Player Profile is brought to you by Bud Light.
Look, there's a canopy running across the secondary. See, this is why I love it. I do. I think it's important. It's one of the reasons why the Marvin Harrison Jr. thing is so big with me. Roma Dunze as well. Got a little size to him, a little butt to him as well. But, you know, I mean, this is what I want to see. Big, capable targets for Kyler Murray.
I know you want to see this, too. Because at pick 27, Matt Miller has the Cardinals going with
Graham Barton, offensive tackle, Duke.
It is easy to love Barton with his strong grip strength and lateral quickness. During his 3 years at Duke, he started 39 games, 34 at left tackle and 5 at center. It's those 5 starts at center that's intriguing NFL teams. Barton does not have the usual length and power of an offensive lineman, but those weaknesses could be his strengths if he moves to play inside. With an improvement to his redirection skills and speed, he could be a Pro Bowl caliber guard in the NFL. NFL comp, Cody Whitehair.
This 2024 NFL Draft Player Profile is brought to you by Bud Light.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, let's see. I'd be okay with that.
I like big boys, and I cannot lie.
I would be so okay with that right there. Grant Barton just shooting up some draft
boards. You don't even care what
here.
Happens at the top of the draft. You just want Grant Barton at 27.
I honestly, right now, this is what you want. You want brawlers. You want brawlers.
Is that why you want three first-round picks? Because it increases your chances to get Grant Barton?
Yeah, no, I do. I just think, too, with Monty and the way that he evaluates players and JG as well, they're on the same page, and the person is just as important as the player to this culture that the Arizona Cardinals have, and I love it. And because of that, there's nothing that is sweeter, especially when you've got a quarterback that is 5'10 and an eighth. There's nothing that is sweeter than a stout interior offensive lineman who will jack somebody and keep his feet and not allow penetration. Isn't that right, Graham?
All right, text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. When we come back, Kevin Ray's going to join us. Game day with K-Ray. What does he want to see from the Suns in a bounce-back effort, hopefully, against the Nuggets tonight in Denver? We'll ask him next. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Catch it in from the corner.
Wolf and Luke.
Brings the boom and catching bodies on his way to the rack.
Suns, game day with K-Ray.
I'm ready for whatever. I'm ready for whatever.
All right, Kevin Ray joining us on the Arizona Sports Line right now for game day with K-Ray. Suns in Denver tonight for game number 73 of the season. Although, K, I got to be honest, game number 72 of the season, I completely blocked that one out. That never happened, so I don't even know how we're on game 73. How you doing?
I don't even know what you're talking about, Luke. I've been transported here to Denver. I've blacked out the last 72 hours.
Nice. I'm right there with you. I think most Suns fans are trying to do the same thing.
That's awesome, Josh. So anyways, buddy, as you look at this game tonight, what do you think about? What comes first? I don't want to lead you in any way, shape, or form. So what do you think about?
Well, you know, the word that comes to mind is just urgency, something that clearly did not occur in the last game that did get recorded as game 72, unfortunately. So, you know, it's urgency. And this team has had a tendency to play with requisite urgency in these kind of situations. But you know, you have to remember who you are facing now. You are facing not only the defending champs, but you are facing a team that in some ways, you know, kind of has pulled the Muhammad Ali, I'll go old school, you know, rope-a-dope. Defending champs, you know, they looked a little sluggish early in the season, but since the All-Star break, no team has been better. The Suns now did hand them one of their only two losses they've had since the break. But this is a team that is clearly focused on finishing strong and in doing so, trying to secure the top spot in the Western Conference playoffs. So, you know, you've got to come with requisite urgency, but you have to back that up with the kind of execution that's required.
We're talking to Kevin Ray. It's game day with K-Ray as the Suns get set to take on the Nuggets tonight. K, Yusuf Nurkic, Bradley Beal, both questionable for this game officially. I got to be honest, and I try to be optimistic, but if they don't have Nurkic, I'm not sure how they can win this tonight. Do you see a path if they don't have him? Like, what would that even look like against Jokic?
Well, it would look like needing incredible Herculean efforts from probably a trio of people, you know, starting with Drew. Bol Bol, a former Nugget, would probably get his shot. And then, you know, you'd probably look at trying to turn to a guy that we've seen, you know, very limited minutes out of. And that is, you know, the veteran that they'd be able to turn to in the form of Thaddeus Young. You know, Thad 6'8". I mean, again, you don't have anybody that can directly match up size-wise with Nurk, but it would have to be a collective effort you would have to, you'd maybe even have to try to play small longer than you probably have all season long. Let's hope that's not the case. I have confirmed that. I mean, they will truly be game time decisions. So let's keep our fingers crossed that that both those guys can go. At the very least, you hope that Nurk can go for the very reasons that that you brought up.
Okay, is there an unsung guy that you expect to step up? I mean, I think we all look at the big three, of course, with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker and Bradley Beal. But is there a guy you expect to step up tonight and be a difference maker? And if so, who is that guy?
Well, I might even throw, you know, if I can have the luxury of throwing, you know, two guys in there, and that is Grayson Allen and Eric Gordon. Grayson lit them up. He hit them with a barrage of threes and really kind of set the tone the last time the Suns played up here, you know, finishing the game with eight all coming in that first. Eric Gordon is a guy. Like, I think what you've got to do is be able to knock down some of those perimeter shots. And by perimeter, I'm talking 3-point shots to loosen up that defense and, you know, create some driving lanes. So those are the two guys that I would look at and hope that they've got their A games locked in and ready to go tonight.
Talking to Kevin Ray, 10 games left, and we've been looking at this portion of the schedule, looking ahead at it for a while, but now you have these final 10 games all against playoff teams. There's a lot on the line in terms of the play-in or an actual playoff spot. In terms of this team getting better, though, over these final 10 games, what specifically are you looking for? What do you think they can do over these final 10 games?
Well, you know, I think what you've got to do, Luke, is – you know, get away from these, you know, giant ebbs and flows of, you know, of looking like a championship contender, and then, you know, looking like a team that is, you know, kind of distracted and disconnected. We've reached a point in the season where, yes, every team is going to have little hiccups and little slips, but You've got to be able to forge, you know, four quarters of high level basketball, because that's what it's going to require. Certainly these 10 games, and most definitely that's what's going to require in a play-in and without a doubt in the playoffs.
You know what's amazing about this, Kay? I just saw a stat from ESPN that came out on Kevin Durant, and it has Kevin Durant's plus minus as minus 141 in the fourth quarter. And that is dead last in the association. when you hear that, what do you think, Gay?
I think that it is mind blowing that both he and his team at this point in the season can still be dealing with those kind of fourth quarter woes. And, yeah, and, you know, like you, if I had an answer, we would have all, you know, dropped them in the suggestion box. I don't know what to make of it.
Unbelievable, right? I mean, you just don't think of that when you think of KD.
No, you certainly don't. And, you know, with that being said, you know, you have a chance here in these last 10 games to correct that in short order and try to have that carry over into the postseason. And it's, you know, it's got to start here tonight in Denver.
Okay, Frank Vogel was asked about, how close he was to having the playoff rotation solidified a couple of days ago. And he said pretty close, not that it was necessarily done. And then they lost that game to San Antonio, so I don't know if that throws everything out up in the air again. But how close do you think they are to getting down to that? And you know, you kind of need to do that with a few games left in the regular season so you can iron it out, don't you?
Yeah, you really do. And, you know, I think one of the challenges, and, you know, I'll even use the word dilemma for Frank and the staff, is how to integrate Josh Okogie. We know how valuable J.O. can be on the defensive end, but the timing of his injury and the addition of a Royce O'Neal has really, you know, in some ways kind of muddied the waters. You know, you look at what Royce brings to the table, though, and you've certainly got more of a scoring threat when he is on the floor. But that being said, we know how much Josh can, you know, really spark this team with his, you know, playing like his hair is on fire defensively, between the shot blocks, the steals, and creating transition opportunities. So I think that is the one guy that they are really still trying to figure out how they can carve out a few minutes, from game to game. And because of the situation the Suns are in, it will not be easy.
Okay. Always great talking to you,
buddy. Appreciate your time, man.
You got it, boys. Have a good one.
Right, okay, ma'am.
That's Kevin Ray right there joining us on the Arizona Sports Line. I like that he's taking my approach of there just was no Game 72. For whatever reason, the Suns played Game 71 against the Spurs over the weekend. They beat them by 25. There was no Game 72, and Game 73 is tonight.
You got to tell the truth, Luke. Tell the truth. It happened.
Okay, maybe there was, but I forgot all of it. We're giving you the chance to win tickets to watch the reigning NL champs, the Diamondbacks, as they face off against the Rockies on opening day, which is tomorrow. So just listen this Thursday, which is also tomorrow. And every hour, we're going to play a sounder for your chance to call in and win. We're all fired up for opening day. How fired up was Mike Hazen for opening day? He joined us last hour. We'll react to some of the stuff he told us. There's some pretty good stuff in there, as usual, with Mike Hazen. That's next. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, everybody. It's Bernsey, and the Arizona Diamondbacks pull a shocker, and they sign starting pitcher Jordan Montgomery to a 1 or maybe a 2-year deal. What does it say about the rotation? What does it say about their commitment to repeating as National League champions? We'll talk about all of it on the Burns and Gambo Show, starting at straight up 2 o'clock.
There's always so much to talk about this time of year, right? Opening day tomorrow. Even if the team doesn't have real big expectations. But the Diamondbacks, I mean, they're operating like a team with World Series expectations. They were just in the World Series last year, so they deserve to do that.
Yeah.
It wasn't with a bunch of, like, vets that left. They didn't, like, have a fire sale in the offseason. These are their guys that they've been drafting and developing. You all right over there?
Yeah, I just, honestly, right now, the anticipation of it all, and I get it. Erod's down and Paul Sewald's down and... But you know what? At some point in time, they're going to come back. It's not, you could just hear it, right? At some point in time, of course, it's not the end all be all. It's not a disaster by any stretch. Yes, it hurts that Erod and Paul Sewald aren't going to be ready for the start of the season, and they're going to miss weeks, I think. Both of them. And nobody said that, Basin Ornings, but for me, I think they're going to miss weeks, 2-3 weeks, maybe somewhere in there, maybe even longer, as a matter of fact. But they're going to be okay. They're going to be back at some point in time. And I actually think this team is still talented enough, even with those injuries, to be okay, to be in this thing going forward right from the very start.
Well, here's Mike Hazen. We had him on earlier in the show. We asked him about the Eduardo Rodriguez and the Paul Sewald injuries and where he is in terms of concern over those injuries.
Not crazy concerned, not ideal. Nobody wants to kick off a season this way. I think, you know, both of those injuries seem like they're going to be fairly manageable. There will be time missed for sure. But I feel like both of those injuries are going to be manageable. We'll get them back. As I've said before in other derivations of our roster, that the guys now that are going to be pushed into other roles are going to have to step up and keep us where we need to be until they get back. But I'm very confident that we have the types of players that are going to be somewhat immune to, you know, facing difficult circumstances. I think as high as October got for us last year, we spent the first 162 days of last season facing a ton of challenges along the way and responding to a lot of them.
Well, I want to get your interpretation on this because we have Mike Hazen on the show a lot.
Yeah.
When he said he's not overly concerned, or I forget exactly how he phrased it, but like not super concerned, not ideal, yeah. But not, I believe it. Because I feel like if he was like crazy concerned about it, we would know by his answer.
Yes.
I don't think he's somebody that would lie about something like that. You know what I mean? I understand his GM, that's part of the job. But just all the times we've talked to him, like I feel like if he was like, oh, we're screwed and I'm just not going to tell you guys, I think that would have shown through.
It's not always what you say, it's how you say it. And there's no doubt about it, after talking to Mike Hazen right there, I felt really, really good in regard to the fairly manageable. The fairly manageable right there.
You sat up straight when he said that. You were like, oh, fairly manageable.
I was
manageable.
Like, okay, hey, this is good. You know, he'd say, hey, listen, it's going to be fairly manageable here. And that told me that, okay, at least as it stands right now, he did not get a doctor's report that was run for your lives.
Yeah.
It's fairly manageable for the most part. So I like that. And I really do believe this, and I know you do as well. I think Mike is really transparent. He is. When he comes on this show. I'm not saying he's not transparent as a person, and oh, look at us, the Wolf and Luke show. He comes on here and suddenly you can see everything. I'm not saying that.
No, but I do feel like he gives us really good. And some stuff he can't answer. Like, I understood he could not totally answer the Jordan Montgomery question yet, because they haven't signed Jordan Montgomery yet. But in general, I mean, even through the playoff run last year, how many times did he bring up unprompted that he was upset that he didn't get to add starting pitching? He's still upset. You called him out on that today. He still sounds upset that he couldn't add more starting pitching for last season. And he's also, let's not forget, the guy that called in unprompted in the middle of that losing streak. And what was that, in August, early August, we were out at training camp for the Cardinals. And Hazen called in and was like, look, I got to do more. Torrey's got to do more. Like, stuff's got to happen.
I'm so glad to hear you say that and actually put that in perspective for all of us that are on the show here and for those that are listening right now. It's nice that you put that into perspective, because it's like the same situation, I would say, with Burns and Gambo and Torrey Lovello. Mm-hmm. If you listen to them, they have this great relationship with Torrey, where they can there's a lot of transparency that is there as well, I think. And you know, I think it's got a lot to do in this business based earnings with trust. It does. And I think Mike Hazen feels the same way when he comes on this show.
Well, and he is, you can tell, everybody knows how intelligent he is baseball wise, but the way he explains some of the thinking behind the moves the Diamondbacks have or haven't made in the past, or just things, especially during the season. Like, I'm really happy we're going to have him on again all season. We're going to have him and Mike Fitzgerald and Amiel Sade on all season, as we did the last couple of years. It's great. One of the things that he talked about towards the end of everything last season was the commitment that ownership was going to offer to him, and in terms of spending in the offseason from Ken Kendrick and Derek Hall. And so we asked him about that today, now that the offseason has pretty much passed, although even talking to him, you could tell he still has more moves he wants to make. But we asked him about that commitment from ownership this offseason in particular, and how that has allowed them to do things they haven't really been able to do in the past.
Yeah, look, I've said this a lot. I feel like I repeat myself too much, but I do. When Ken and Derek have told us that, when, you know, that this team is in a position to make consistent challenges to the playoffs, that the money would be there, that there'd be investment to be had in the team. And I respect that. I respect that position. I respect that approach. And it's something where, and yes, we have had the good fortune this offseason to be able to put more money into our team. I think it's good for the fans deserve it. The fans that came out and watched us all, you know, through the playoffs, we saw that place jammed out. I think our players that played so well, that have put so much time and energy into improving themselves and our team, I think they deserve it, frankly, to continue to add. And that's the way I look at it. Like, we owe both of those some level of commitment, and we've had the good fortune to be able to go out there and be able to add to the team, both via trade and free agency.
Yeah, that was really interesting as well. Can I also ask you to play the cut in regard to me saying, is this a better team on paper than what you finished last year? Because he really didn't like that one to me. To me, he was not crazy about that one, because we all understand, you got to the World Series. It's you've got to play. You got to play at a certain level where suddenly you can win games in the NLCS that get you to the World Series. So it's really hard to see a team that is put into that position who does win those games to go to the World Series, and then say, well, on paper, this team looks better than that team.
Yeah, here it is.
I think it's probably somewhat equivalent. honestly. I think that there were some really good additions. We lost some really good players. So how we tease all that out, you know, Paul Seawald obviously was on both of those. So that sort of negates itself in terms of that question. I think we're pretty equivalent. I think maybe we're a little stronger in certain areas. Ultimately, I think we'll be stronger in a couple other areas. I think the depth of our rotation is certainly going to be better than it was at the end of the year last year when we were bullpenning playoff games. Hopefully that isn't a situation that we're going to be dealing with.
He still does not like the fact that they were bullpenning games in the playoffs. They won some of those games.
He's taking a shot at himself when he does that, too.
Yeah.
Don't for a minute, based on things, don't let that just gloss over.
Well, I just think there's not a lot of GMs that would do that. You know what I mean?
Exactly. We're bullpenning games in the World Series, right? I mean, he's taking a shot at himself when he says that.
I'll tell you, when we were going into the interview, because this is, and we talked to him a little bit during the offseason, but as far as like, okay, here we go, spring training's pretty much over and the season's starting. This is the first time we've talked to him on the show in a few weeks. And one of the questions I had in my mind that I kind of wanted to ask him is, you know, was there a specific primary focus this offseason that you attacked things with? But he answered it in so many different questions, I never had to bring it up because it was very clearly we're doing something about starting pitching. I'm going to go out on a limb, and you can never, you know, you can't account for injuries or whatever. But that the Diamondbacks, I think they'll be a playoff team, that they won't have any bullpen games in the playoffs. Because I think if they do, Mike Hazen's going to trade for somebody in the middle of the playoffs next year. He's going to make sure the rotation is like 12 guys deep.
Hey, and you know what? The chips are already in the center of the table, aren't they, Kenny? Kendrick. Yes.
I don't think we can gloss over that. Maybe we'll get back into that in a little bit. You don't typically see a team move up this much in terms of payroll. When we come back, how are the Phoenix Suns going to respond to what is pretty undeniably their worst loss of the season? It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.